All right. How many of us have got their Bibles? Okay. Pick it up. Pick up your Bible. Pick up your cell phone. Those of you who are complicated. And say, this is my Bible. It is the Word of God. I am what it says I am. Let's do it again. This is my Bible. It is the Word of God. I am what it says I am. Amen. If it says you are rich, you are rich. Glory be to God. If it says you are the head and not the tail, you are the head and not the tail. Hallelujah. When it says the works of your hands are blessed, your works are blessed. Glory be to God. When it says you are healthy, it means you are healthy. There might be pain in your body, but you are healthy. Glory be to God. We walk by faith and not by sight. Can feel I'm already getting worked up here. Amen. All right. This morning, allow me to start by saying, it's not everyone who does not pray because they don't want to pray. It's not everyone. There will be some who pray because they just don't feel prayer. They don't like praying and talking to nothing. You know, sometimes it feels like that. But I know there are some people who pray not in the way that they should pray because they don't know. Okay? There are some who don't pray the way they should because they don't know better. You see, many well-meaning believers have plateaued. What do I mean by that? They have reached a state of little or no change with regards to prayer because they don't know better. You know, for me, I've had experiences in my life where I pick up a book on prayer, it stirs up my heart into praying. I remember a couple of years ago, I picked up a book by Bishop Dagg, you know, and I just loved it. It just stirred me up into a life of prayer. Recently, I picked up a book by Ian Bounds called Prayer and the Pastor. What it did, it stirred up my prayer life. It changed the way that I prepare for messages. So it's because I gained something from those encounters with that material on prayer. Glory be to God. Now, if you are like that, you are in a place right now in your life where you feel like your prayer life has plateaued. You've been praying the same way for the past 15 years. And you feel like my prayer life has become stale. And I want something to change. You are in the right place. Glory be to God. Because for the following weeks, we are going to be looking at the technology of prevailing prayer. The technology of prevailing prayer. You see, technology is a fancy word which means how things are done or how things work. Okay? It would be nice if you can talk back to me. Feedback. Come on now. So, we're talking about the technology of prevailing prayer. How do you engage in prevailing prayer? So, the title of my message this morning is Prevailing Prayer, Lessons from Prayers of the Bible. Prevailing prayer. And where do we get these lessons? Lessons from the prayers of the Bible. We're going to glean into the prayers of the Bible. And we're going to pick up principles there that will help us to be prayer warriors. Hallelujah. Now, did you know that there are over 650 prayers recorded in the Bible? Over 650 prayers. Don't take my word for it. Go and do your own research. Okay? In this church, I allow you to go check my preachings. Go check the word that I quote. Go and see whether this is the right thing. And if it's not, please come challenge me. I would love, that's how I grow as well. So there are over 650 prayers recorded. And there are over 450 prayers answered. Okay? Recorded answers in the Bible. And therefore, we don't need to look anywhere else. The Bible has all that we need to take us into our next dimension of prayer. Are you ready to hear this morning? Now, during the earthly days of Jesus, when the disciples saw Jesus praying, there was something about his way of praying that was different from the way that they were praying. Does somebody hear me? There was something about the way that Jesus was praying that prompted something to happen in the hearts of the disciples. That is why if you are to move to your next dimension of prayer, you need to engage sometimes in corporate prayer. Because when you are in corporate prayer, you are able to see people praying in a different way. Because prayer is contagious. You can close yourself up at home and you keep on going round and round in the same place, not knowing how to break forth into different dimensions of prayer. So the Bible tells us that the disciples saw Jesus praying and something happened in their hearts. Luke 11 verse 1. And the Bible says in Luke 11 verse 1, and it happened as he was praying in a certain place, when he seized one of his disciples, said to him, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. What that means is that they'd spent time with the Lord praying, and they saw the way that Jesus was praying. And they were saying, we are far from it. How do we get there? How do we attain the type of fervency in prayer? How do we attain the type of prayer in our own lives? And they said, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. Now, his way of praying prompted the disciples to want to do the same. If you are here on Friday night, you might have been stirred up to say, I want to learn how to pray that way. I want to know how to pray that way. Now, this means that prayer can be learned. Prayer can be taught. When last were you taught on how to pray? And this is why we are saying, for us to engage in prevailing prayer, we need to learn some lessons from the prayers that are found in the Bible. Romans chapter 8, we learn something very powerful concerning prayer as well. You see, the Holy Spirit comes and anoints you and enables you to pray in a different way. I have experienced in my own life whereby I start off praying a bit lolly in a very small way, or I'm feeling a bit tired. But as I engage a little bit more, the Holy Spirit comes on me and something happens in my prayer moment, where the Holy Spirit starts stirring up my spirit to pray in a certain dimension. I've seen the Holy Spirit putting things in my heart to pray for that I never thought I was going to pray for. Sometimes when I pray, God starts showing me pictures of people and I start praying for those people. People that I never thought of before. What's going on here? Likewise, the Spirit also prays, helps our infirmities. We are prone to weaknesses, okay? We are prone not to know how to pray. It says here, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. Come on now. There is a way that I should pray that triggers something in the heart of God. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The Spirit doesn't take over, but what he does, he comes alongside and he helps you in your time of prayer. You wonder why some people are able to go for hours in prayer. What's going on here? There is something else that has been added to their natural ability to pray. A supernatural working of the Holy Spirit. When last did you say, Holy Spirit, help me as I pray right now? That's a principle that will enable you to tap into prevailing prayer. So the Holy Spirit takes hold of us in our human frailty to empower us in our weakness. In other words, you receive the anointing to pray what I call prevailing prayers. You receive the anointing, the empowerment, the enablement of the Holy Spirit. Church, you need that. If you are to see results in your life, you need the empowering of the Holy Spirit in your life. You need to move away from these breakfast types of prayers to prayers that are prevailing. The reason why you need the Holy Spirit to pray prevailing prayers, it is because the Holy Spirit enters the heart of the Father. And He sees what's in the heart of the Father. And He brings it to you and says, pray in line with this. In the book of the 1 John, the Bible tells us that we know that we receive what we pray for if we pray according to His will. Prevailing prayer. What is prevailing prayer? This is a prayer that gets you results. This is a type of prayer that strengthens you even when answers have not come. I'm going to repeat that. This is a type of prayer that enables you to keep going even when answers have not come. Amen. You don't need answers for you to keep going. But when you pray knowing that I have prayed the will of God, it's a matter of time. It's a matter of time before answers start coming your way. That happens when you pray through the Holy Spirit. So, that is a prayer that gets you results. This prevailing prayer causes you to break through. This is the type of prayer that gives you access to opportunities. It's the type of prayer that opens doors that you would not have opened by yourself. It's the type of prayer that gives you access to favor with men and with everything else around you. Prevailing prayer. James 5 verse 16 gives us a powerful definition of prevailing prayer. The apostle James says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. When last did you stand with somebody else in prayer? I was so blessed with what's going on in our women's ministry where the ladies are coming together. They've been put into prayer bodies where they're praying for one another. This is exactly what is being spoken of here by the Apostle James. He says, yeah, confess your sins to each other, which means I'm able to go into a corner with Tabo and say, listen, I just want to confess this sin in the presence of Tabo. Because what that does, it releases breakthrough in the spirit. And the Bible says here, confess your sins to each other. It's pride when we cannot do that. And pray for each other so that you may be healed. Now it says here, the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. The earnest prayer, the fervent prayer of a righteous man. Now, we like wonderful results. Other version says, you know, it is effective in its work. All right? Now, we want wonderful results, but you see there are two qualifications. Number one, it says the earnest prayer. A prayer that is heartfelt. A prayer that is made from a place and a heart that is desperate for God. When you are earnest about something, you search for it. You engage everything that you have in order to get it. So there's a level of earnestness, and then there's a level of righteousness. Earnest speaks of fervency. So there's a place to cry out in prayer, glory be to God. There's a place to wail in prayer. There's a place to cry and shout in prayer. And then it says, of a righteous man. Now, these two, they are responsibilities. In my industry, we speak of the allocation of risk. The one side, God has taken care of it in terms of righteousness. The Bible says you are the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That is taken care of as long as you are born again, you are a child of God. I'm not talking about sanctification here. I'm talking about righteousness. Okay? You are the righteousness of God, not because of who you are, not because of what you've done, but because of what Jesus did for you. Amen. So that is covered. The question is a righteous person earnest in prayer? Does this righteous person engage in prayer with a meaningful heart? Our problem is we have a lot of righteous people who are not earnest in prayer. And therefore, there are no wonderful results in their lives. And they say, but I'm a child of God. Yes, you are a child of God, but how earnest have you been in prayer? Oh, man. We're going somewhere this morning. Wonderful results. I want wonderful results. But how much am I prepared to be on my knees or to be on my belly? How much am I prepared to do that? Wonderful results are coming. You are a righteous person. But God is saying, I cannot be earnest on your behalf. There are things that God cannot do for us. He has done the righteous bit, but he's saying, you got to be earnest. That's the story of wonderful results. When a church understands their role in the process of acquiring wonderful results, that church becomes a prayerful church. That family becomes a prayerful family. That couple becomes a prayerful couple. One of the things I've realized is that the devil hates marriages because he knows that in a marriage, you are a team. You are partners. And when you come together in prayer as husband and wife, the Bible says, wherever two or three gather in my name, there I am in their midst by my spirit. So when husband and wife are in agreement, when they are praying, they are unstoppable. So for the devil to stop them from getting results, he stops them from praying. Husband and wife, when last did you earnestly pray together? When last did you earnestly join hands with your wife and husband and say, we're going to pray heaven down? It's rare. But you're there 24/7 together. All right. Let's look at the first lesson. Where are we going to learn today? We're going to start off with the prayer of Abraham when he was praying for Sodom. Lessons from Abraham's prayer for Sodom. So I'm going to look at the context of when Abraham prayed for Sodom. That's where we're going to start off. And I'm believing God that you will get something profound this morning. Hallelujah. Lessons from Abraham's prayer for Sodom. Let's go to Genesis 18 verse 1. Buckle up, buckle up. It's going to be a nice ride. Genesis 18 verse 1. The Bible says, and Jehovah appeared to him in the plains of Mamre. And he sat at the tent door in the heat of the day. Man, sometimes when you read scriptures, just wait. The Bible says, and Jehovah appeared to Abraham. Can I say today, and Jehovah appeared to me last night? This is what happened. And Jehovah appeared to Abraham in the plains of Mamre, and Abraham was sitting in his tent door in the heat of the day. Very, very interesting. You see, Abraham was in a state of relaxation. Abraham was minding his own business. Abraham was fanning himself. And there was nothing spiritual about what Abraham was doing. But the Bible says, in that moment, Jehovah appeared to him. Jehovah appeared to him. What is the first learning this morning? The first lesson is this. Any time and any situation is suitable for prayer. Come on now. Any time and any situation is suitable for prayer. And this needs to enter into someone's mind, into somebody's spirit this morning. Prayer can be engaged anywhere and anyhow. If you can give me that slide, please. Any time and any situation is suitable for prayer. It doesn't matter where you are, whether you're sitting on the throne behind a door somewhere. in the toilet. It doesn't matter where you are. I want you to realize this morning that Abraham was minding his own business. There he was, I don't know, maybe he was contemplating about the coming rains. And he was just thinking about this thing. And Jehovah decided, I'm coming down to speak to you. Now you need to realize this morning that the spirit of religion has robbed us of moments of intimacy with God because we see all these moments as unspiritual. We think that we can talk to God in our closet back at home, but when I'm going to work, I cannot talk to God. Abraham was refreshing himself. If it was in our today's world, maybe Abraham was taking a dive in his pool. If it was in our contemporary world. Because the Bible says he was there cooling off under his tent. So Abraham could have been diving in the pool. Maybe Abraham was watching a feel good movie, that's what you call them, right? Maybe he was watching those feel good movies. Minding his own business. Maybe he was watching, I don't know, Suits. I don't know, whatever it is. Okay? He was there chilling, doing his thing. Maybe Abraham was taking a jog in the neighborhood. Maybe Abraham was doing a 66K race, cycling on his bike. I'm saying, anywhere, anyhow, it's suitable time for prayer. And the Bible says, and the Lord appeared unto him. And it was in that moment that Jehovah decided, I want to draw his attention. Now, I want to ask you a question this morning. Does it feel strange for you to pray whilst doing dishes? Those of you who don't have dishwashers at home. Does it feel strange to speak in another tongue when you're doing dishes? Okay. Quite a number of times I see myself with the mop. Does it feel strange to speak to the Lord when you're mopping the floor? Come on now. Does it feel strange to speak to the Lord when you're cleaning your car? Does it feel strange to speak to the Lord when you're mowing your lawn? I don't know. I'm just trying to say to you, any time in any situation is a suitable time for prayer. Paul encourages all men to pray everywhere with their hands lifted up in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. He says here, I desire therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath or doubting. Everywhere, wherever you are, the scripture is not on the screen. Don't worry about it. Anywhere, it's a place where you can seek God. Why? Because he's omnipresent. I want you to know wherever you are, God is there. The point here is this, when you engage God, his passive presence becomes an active presence. The presence of God is there with you in your boardroom. The presence of God is there with you wherever you're working, but it is passive until you engage prayer. And what prayer does, it activates the presence of God to work on your behalf. That's the power of prayer. You see, people who engage in prevailing prayer are comfortable to have conversation with God anyway, anyhow. You've got to come to that place. And I rebuke the spirit of religion in our lives where we have isolated prayer to specific situations and specific locations. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16. The Bible says, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, colon, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. It means the will of God is for me to rejoice always. The will of God is for me to give thanks always. The will of God is for me to pray always. The NIV gives you in that format, if you read other versions, basically there's a full stop on each of them until you get to the one that says, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God for you. But the concept and the picture here and the principle is the will of God for you to engage prayer in every situation. Does somebody hear me this morning? You see, training yourself to pray always connects you with God at a deeper level. And this is what we call practicing His presence. You want to be a carrier of His presence? You got to practice His presence by being aware of Him, conversing with Him all the time. Glory be to God. The next issue that we learn from this story of Abraham is when God prompts you to pray, willingly entertain Him. Just take note of that. When God prompts you to pray, be available. Be available, because He wants you so much, He will come and tap you on your shoulders. Hey, are you available? The Holy Spirit will come behind you. Hey, can we chat? The question is, how many of us are open to those suggestions? And I'm telling you, that will make a huge difference in your life. Genesis 18 verse 2. And the Bible says, and he lifted up his eyes. Who is this now? Abraham. So Abraham was there chilling and doing his own thing, taking a dive in the pool. And then something happens. His attention was drawn. And the Bible says, and he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. Can you imagine? Can you imagine that? You get a strong sense in your heart that I need to talk to God. This was the story. Behold, three men stood by him. He had a choice to say to them, you are trespassing. I remember taking a walk with my kids, and I saw this board in one house, and the guy wrote there and he says, my dog eats everything that I shoot. I'm like, whoa, wait a moment. I'm like, yay, this guy is dangerous. He says, my dog eats everything that I shoot. Hey, So imagine now Abraham saying, what are you doing in my neighborhood? What are you doing next to my tent? My dogs eat everything that I shoot. He could have been nasty to these three men because they were just violating his privacy, if you can say. Can I say, when God prompts you to pray, it sounds like He's violating your privacy. It's like, just leave me alone. I just want to watch this chick flick. Just want to finish this hardcore action movie. When I'm done, we can talk. I'm praying that we come to that place where, even if it's in the middle of Die Hard 4, you just leave it and you go pray. Amen. You know Die Hard 4, right? I'm dating myself. Or the Royal Rumble. Or The Rock. Whatever you're watching. Can you imagine the Holy Spirit coming before you and say, like, just put that, just pause it. Let's go talk. Because this is what happened. And when he saw them, what do you do when he prompts you to pray? He ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed toward the ground. He sensed that these were no ordinary men. That prompting is not your wife prompting you. It's the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Godhead saying, can we talk? And he said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in your sight, do not pass away. I pray from your servant. Let a little water, I pray, be brought and wash your feet and rest under the tree. And I will bring a bite of bread. I will comfort your hearts. After that, you shall pass on. For this is why you have come to your servant. And they said, do so as you have said. Can you picture something happening here? Where Abraham was not too busy for these visitors. When we are not too busy with our kids that we cannot pay attention to God. When the visitation of God comes in your home, what do you do? You know, these days we do streaming of music, and you're there streaming this powerful time of worship, and you just sense the atmosphere is changing here. What do you do? Do you engage in it? Do you actually say it's a time to be in the presence of God? There are times that I do that. You know, these bazooka speakers we play in our kitchen, and you just feel like, ooh, the glory of God is coming down, and you enter into that moment. What's happening? The three men are standing beside you, waiting to see your response. The Holy Spirit is coming around you, waiting to see what you will do. And I want you to realize that God initiated this visit. It was not Abraham who said, can you just pay me a visit? I just want you to pass by my tent. No, God initiated the visit. And I want you to know, he says, I want to be with you. And that's what God is saying. You see, the outcome of this visit was going to be determined by Abraham's response to the visit. The outcome of your work, of your prayer life, is going to be determined by your response and how you accommodate the presence of God in your life. And look here, Abraham did something very special. Abraham risked his life by welcoming strangers into his house. He did not say, my dog eats what I shoot. He said, you are welcome. You are welcome. You see, these days, it's becoming tricky to give people lifts when you're driving long trips. But can you imagine giving a stranger a lift? And the Bible says some have entertained angels by being hospitable. Do you hear me this morning? So Abraham did something special. He risked his life. He ran to meet them and begged them to have something to eat. He said to them, please don't leave. Can I just indulge you? How often are you prepared to indulge the presence of God in your life? He said to them, can I indulge you a little bit? Can I just give you some comfort? Can I make some little food for you? He called a little bread. Now, did you know that God wants to fellowship with you? From time immemorial, it has always been the case where God wants to be with man. When he planted Adam in the Garden of Eden, he did not say, I'm done with you. Adam, sort yourself out. The Bible says from time to time, God would come in the breeze of the afternoon. And one day, as usual, he came down and did not find Adam. Oh, man, I don't know if this is singing somebody's spirit. He would come from time to time to fellowship and to just have small talk with Abram, with Adam. But one day he came as usual. Adam, where are you? When God comes tonight, will he find you? But when God says, I want to come to God church. I want to just be with them. And he comes, I'm just figuratively speaking. He walks through the door and he finds nobody for prayer. Or he comes in and he finds one man praying. God walks into your closet. He walks into your bedroom and he doesn't find you. But when he came to Abraham, Abraham was extravagant in the way he entertained God. Abraham pulled every stop. He went all out. So the more you positively respond to those promptings, the more of those promptings you will start experiencing in your life. When the Holy Spirit finds that he is welcome, he is comfortable in your abode, he will do it more often. And you become a prayer warrior. You start praying 24/7. Even in the midst of a crowd, your spirit man is in touch with the Father. Your spirit man is praying. Why? Because the first time, the second time, the third time you were open to his visitation, he will come even in the crowd. He will speak to you. Ah, I just feel the anointing of God as I say this. This is what happens when a church is open to the visitations of God. When we pay attention to God, I'm going ahead of myself. When we pay attention to God, He will pay attention to us. Did you know Moses, in his encounter with the burning bush, nothing happened until Moses paid attention? I'll show you this scripture in Exodus. It's not on the screens. Old time version. Exodus chapter 3. I'm sure somebody was praying for me this morning as I was preparing the last preps, and God just showed this to me. Exodus 3, from verse 2. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. The angel of the Lord, this was God himself, the angel of the Lord appeared to him as a burning bush, right? Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn out. So Moses thought, what is this? Right? So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn out. And the Bible says, verse 4, when the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. What was the trigger? When God saw that Moses was interested in the burning bush, he then said, it's time to talk. When you take interest in God, saints, you tap into a deeper dimension of God. God shows you a little bit, and he sees that you are interested, he opens up more. Amen. God shows you a little bit and you do nothing, nothing else comes. And when God saw that Moses' attention was drawn, he spoke. Moses, Moses. And I want you to know, until you show attention, until you pay attention to God, there are some things of God that you'll never get to experience. Just think about that. James 4, verse 8. Powerful scripture. Draw closer to me, and I will draw closer to you. It's about how much we want God. You see, God wants us so much, and he has proven it by coming down as a man. Jesus came, fully God, fully man. Why? Drawing closer to man. Now it's up to us. Now James here says, draw nigh unto me, and I'll draw nigh unto you. The closer you want to be in the presence of God, the more of himself he reveals to you. Amen. Okay. You see, put this down. Prevailing prayer is a byproduct of a willing attitude to entertain God in prayer. In other words, it mustn't be a case of being dragged to church screaming and crying and like, no, this pastor has got issues with prayer. We are done with hearing the issue of prayer. If you are like that, you still have a long way to go. Prevailing prayer is a byproduct of a willing attitude. It's an attitude, saints. A willing attitude to entertain God in prayer. People are prepared to do things in order to keep their jobs. They will sacrifice even their own families. But how come when it comes to prayer, people feel so inconvenient that they don't come for a Friday night prayer once a month? Most of us here are all guilty as charged. Is it because I want an ego to be stroked? And I'm saying, church, let's pray. No, it's this. It is this issue that I'm hammering home. You say, saints, let's move away from this religious way of life where everything else is important but prayer. Number three. So we've dealt with the whole issue of when God prompts you to pray, willingly entertain him. The third one and the last point is this. Prevailing prayer is about quality time. Give God quality time. Pray when you are most alert. Sounds very simple, but that will change your prayer life. Prayer is about quality time with God. Prayer is about being alert. You know what we do, Bazalwane, Christians? We don't really pay attention to one another. This is what we do. Hey, my sister, how are you doing? It's really nice. Hey, by the way, what's going on there? Do you see what's happening? Ah, it's good. How's TK? Oh, no, nice. God bless you. That's what we do. And we do that to God. We cannot have prevailing prayer when we have one eye on God and another eye on Netflix. It's not going to work like that. So prayer is more about quality time than it is about the length of prayer. Okay? Quality and not quantity. Quality and not quantity. But I want to qualify that this morning. You see, there are levels in the spirit. We move from glory to glory. We move from strength to strength. I want you to know, if you want to go deeper in the things of God, at a certain point in your life, both quality and quantity matters. Both quality and quantity matters. Why? Because as you give God quality time, you would feel like, I want to just spend a little bit more time in his presence. And that's quantity. You see, Abraham gave God the best he had at his disposal. You see, he dished out his best meal and gave his undivided attention. Quality. Quality. This is what we're talking about. Those of you who are not married, you would need a revelation on what QT is. But those of you who are married, you know what I mean by quality time. Predominantly speaking, I'm generalizing. Most wives like quality time. And this is what we're saying here. Give God quality time. Look at Genesis 18 verse 8 as we round this down. And the Bible says, and he took butter. Do you know how butter is made? Butter comes from milk, right? It's a lot of work to make butter. These days, it's easy because we've got these spindles, we've got stuff. Before you know it, you've got butter. Back in the day, the guy had to do so much work to get butter out of milk. And the Bible says, he gave them butter and he gave them milk. And they say, my visitors, choose. It's all available to you. Butter and milk. So he gave them his best. And the calf, which he had dressed, he had a spit braai for these guys. You see, the older the calf is, the more hard the meat is. Okay? So he went for the young one that was very tender. Okay? He went for the young one that these guys could just take all the way to the bone. So he did not look for the old that was lame, that was sick. In the book of Malachi, God was complaining about people offering animals that are not walking properly. But here Abraham went into his flock and he got the best. And he did a spit braai for them, for God. How? Guys, talk about quality. I just like it. It brings it home. You know what we mean by a spit braai? And set it before them. Now take note of this. Very profound. And set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree and they ate. So he did not say, hey guys, eat, and he ran back to his wife. No, he stood by them, waiting on them, watching them eating, ensuring that the salt is the right level, the spice is the right level, the water is cool enough, and he waited on them. Quality time. What's the level of quality of time you're giving God? When are you at your best? Early in the morning or late at night? But do you know what we do? We give ourselves the best time. We work during our most time of being alert. And then when we feel dozy, that's when we say, Father, thank you for this day. As I sleep, may I not have nightmares. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Gone. Come on now. Or if that's not the case, like, Father, I thank you so much. It has been a difficult week, this one. Jesus, I bind you. That's what you do when you pray and you're sleeping at the same time. You start uttering things that don't make sense. And Jesus is waiting to hear the next thing, like, I bind you. Like, hey, wait a moment. What are you doing? Are you praying? You're so bummed out. You're tired. The day has been bad, horrible. And then you just, you're like, hey, the pastor said I must pray, right? So you pray for 20 minutes, but of those 20 minutes, only 2 minutes really mattered. Oh, Lord, have mercy. But this man was different. This man stood by them. He was not in a rush to go back to his wife. So after dishing out his best meal, Abraham was not in a rush to go back to his wife. He stood by them. Abraham was patient. Abraham waited on God. You see, when you learn to give God undivided attention, he will in turn give you his full attention. You see, you might need to put your phone away when it's time to pray. You might need to switch it off. You might have to leave your comfortable bed in order to avoid sleeping during prayer and go and kneel somewhere. Put this down. Prevailing prayer is a result of giving God undivided attention. This is very, very key. You see, Abraham's desire to be with God, his willingness to attend and entertain God, created an opportunity for a major breakthrough in his life. Abraham, what had you seen on these men? Abraham, what drew your attention to these three men? Because nothing really tells us that Abraham knew that one of them was God. But what Abraham did, he was doing what came to him naturally. So when you pay attention to God, there are things that happen. So when God saw that Abraham was really into him, God said, I have to do something about this man. You see, Abraham was not entertaining God for what he was going to get from God. He was entertaining God because he just valued God. When you value God, not because of his hand, you will eventually see his hand at work in your life. So there was God and these two angels eating and eating. And in the heart of God, he's like, man, I feel full, you know. I have to do something about this man. And then he remembered, there has been something waiting for 24 years. There has been a prayer request. There has been a 24-year-old request that this man has been waiting for. And then God says, and they say to him, where is Sarah, your wife? How did you know that my wife is Sarah? Something dodgy here. How do you even know my wife's name? Abraham could have just lost it right there. But the Bible tells us here. And he said, behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return to you according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. And Sarah had it there behind the tent. So in that moment, a 24-year-old prayer request was answered. This is the result of willingly entertaining God and giving him your attention. In that day, it triggered the release of the promise. What have you been waiting for? What is going to bring that breakthrough in your life? And there he was. The following year, baby was coming, and baby Isaac came. Glory be to God. Let's wind this and finish up. I want you to realize that secrets of heaven are reserved for those who willingly fellowship with God. Secrets of heaven. Heaven is packed with secrets that are only reserved for those who want God. You see, God was about to execute judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah, on the city Sodom. You see, when you are in the presence of God, you will access the deeper things in the heart of God. You wonder why people hear God speaking to them. It's because they're spending time in the presence of God. So, because Abraham had access to the heart of God, he had an opportunity to play the role of a watchman over the city. Look at Genesis 18:23. And Abraham drew near and said, "Will you also destroy the righteousness?" Let's go Genesis 18:16. If you can just go back one slide. Right. And the Bible says, "And the man rose up from there and looked toward Sodom. And Abraham was going with them to bring them on the way." Abraham, why are you into these men? No, Abraham, what's going on here? He just loved ministering to them. He waited for them. And then as they were walking, he says, I will walk you out of my yard. And as he was walking with them, God realized that this man is into me. God, this man is really into me, not because of what I can do for him. He just loves me for who I am. And then God said, "Shall I hide from Abraham the thing I'm about to do? Shall I hide the thing I'm about to do to Fazai? She just loves me. She's into me." And then, lo and behold, God spoke to him. Abraham had an opportunity to intercede for the city of Sodom. Don't you want more of God this morning? As we come to the end, I had a number of other scriptures, but today's teaching was really to get us to that place of wanting God. I want us to pray. I mean, I've said a lot of things today. We want more of God. Not because of what we can get from Him, but because of who He is. If we can get God, we can get what He has. If we can get God, we can get what He has for us. Ah, I want God. The rest will follow. I want to entertain God in my house. I want my house to be a playground for the Holy Spirit, where He is comfortable to come in anytime because He knows He will receive attention. I want my car, my vehicle, to be a playground for the Holy Ghost because He knows anytime He can come and just interject and we can commune. Come on, I'll pray for yourself. Oh, yes, Father God, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, for your grace. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you teach us, you help us, you anoint us to pray. We want more of you, Lord. We pray for more. Ah, Holy Spirit of God, we need you. God, we need more. We pray for more.
May we decrease as you increase.
Yes, Lord.
God, we need more.
God, we need more.
As the deer pants for the water.
This is it, Lord.
So our souls long
we
for you.
Pray for more.
We pray for more.
Ah, yes, Lord, would you see our hearts this morning? We want you, Lord.
We pray.
Let them see you in our lives, Lord. You are welcome. You are welcome, Lord. Lord, we need more of you. We pray for more. I pray, Father, for the anointing of prayer. Teach us, O God, to wait on you.
We
pray for more.
We
need more of you, Lord. Father, we just want to thank you today for your grace. Thank you for each one of us, Lord. As we go home, I pray that this word would stir up things in our hearts. We pray that we become more alert, we become more attentive to you. Holy Spirit of God, you are welcome to come and disturb us. You are welcome to come and just disturb our privacy. You are welcome, Holy Spirit. We pray for willingness. We pray for hearts that are open, oh God, to spend time in your presence. We give you glory and we give you honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.